So I'm going to tell you a story and then talk about it. It's from a collection called Zen Flesh, Zen Bones, which is famous, and it was collected. A lot of it was collected by a man named Gyogen Senzaki and Paul Reps, and he worked together to compile it, and to, especially the part called 101 Zen Stories. And then they translated it. Senzaki was an amazing ancestor. If you read American Sutra, or even started it, it begins with a poem by, it begins and ends with a poem by him. And he was a Zen teacher who was here early in the 20th century. And he was interned during World War II. And before that, he had taught in Los Angeles. And after that, he also taught in Los Angeles. And he used to, he had like a room in I don't know if it was quite in Skid Row, but it might have been on the edge of what's now Japantown. I mean, it's in Los Angeles, it's called Little Tokyo. At any rate, he taught Westerners, and he didn't think they were capable of sitting cross-legged on the floor, so he had them all sit in chairs. And that's where Robert Aitken started practicing here in this country with Senzaki. I mean, Aitken actually started in when he was interned in Japan, but at any rate, he was an early student of Gyogen Senzaki. So they compiled this Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. It has different sections, and so one of them is the 101 Zen stories, and if you look at it, a lot of the stories would be familiar. And this one may be familiar. We must have it around here somewhere, but I don't know where. And it might be on the other side. So here's the story. Buddha told a parable in a sutra. A man traveling across a field encountered a tiger. He fled, the tiger after him. Coming to a precipice, he caught hold of the root of a wild vine and swung himself down over the edge. The tiger sniffed at him from above. Trembling, the man looked down to where, far below, another tiger was waiting to eat him. Only the vine sustained him. Two mice, one white, one black, little by little started to gnaw away the vine. The man saw a luscious strawberry growing nearby. Grasping the vine with one hand, he plucked the strawberry with the other hand and he ate it. How sweet it tasted. This is a famous story. Tolstoy uses it, I think. I don't know who else. Okay, so there's this man, he's traveling, walking along, minding his own business, and a tiger sees him and starts to chase him. And he runs, and he sees a vine growing out of the top of a cliff. He swings himself over, and he's hanging there, and the tiger is sort of sniffing at him. And then he looks down, and at the bottom of the cliff, there's another tiger. And then he looks up and he sees that there are two little mice gnawing at the vine, at the root of the vine. And then he notices a strawberry growing there. So he holds on tight and he reaches over and gets it and he eats it. Delicious. So what are we to make of this? How does it speak to us now? Do we have tigers above us and below us? We have little mice, big rats, gnawing at our roots. How is it with you? I really resonate with this because I do feel that way. I feel like sometimes I feel hopeless. And I don't know if we'll make it to January next year or November. I don't know if we will make actual changes to address our systemic racism or just have another upset and then pretty much go back to the way it was. I don't know. I don't know if we'll all be alive in 6 months. Anyway, I could go on and on. We can all go on and on. It's just, sometimes feels as if the world is kind of closing in and there's not a lot we can do. So just take a moment, just reflect on your tigers and mice. And let yourself feel it. Look down that precipice and see the tiger pacing at the bottom. Look up and 6 inches from your head, there's the nose of another tiger. Sniffing around, looking at you, those eyes. Right? You know that poem, Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright in the Forest of the Night? Tiger eyes. And little mice enjoying the root. So, what do you do about that strawberry? You know, if you let go with one hand, you might not even be able to get it back onto the vine. Or the stress from grabbing after it again and changing the weight on the vine, which would move it, right? Both when you let go and when you grabbed it again. That might be enough given what the mice have done. But there's that strawberry. Do you have a strawberry? If you saw this, you let yourself eat a strawberry? Then what does a strawberry represent for you? I was corresponding with another teacher, with Nelson Foster, up at Ring of Bone in Nevada City about this story. And I mentioned that we have delicious apricots here. And I said something about eat more fruit. And then he wrote back with a list of all the fruit that they have. They just had some wonderful strawberries, and they have apricots and apples and peaches, and I forget what all. It was quite a list. So what is a strawberry? And what do you have to do to eat the strawberry? Do you have the practice? I started to say the faith, but maybe it's faith or courage or foolishness and simple greed to eat the strawberry. And if you ate it, could you taste it? How does this speak to you? I don't want to spell it out too much if I haven't already. So please just unmute yourself if you have something to say. And welcome, Asha. It's nice to see you. Kelly?
We've been getting for a long time one of those CSA deliveries. I'm actually going to talk about fruit. We were getting deliveries from the Imperfect Produce. It was okay. And then a friend of ours said, hey, this farmer that I'm picking stuff up from Fairfield, if you want to subscribe to his CSA, I'll pick it up with yours and just bring it by your house. So we just got our first delivery from that a couple of days ago. And the plums and the nectarines were a revelation. It was the best fruit we had had like in a year. And I just remember this, the profundity of like suddenly have, you know, we'd been kind of like, yeah, this fruit's fine. What we were getting for it, and eating this plum and just being like, oh my God, everything I want to do in my life right now is eat this plum. And so, you know, when you tell this story, I'm like, yes, I want to eat that strawberry. That is the entirety of my solution to the problem is I just want to eat that strawberry because it's probably delicious. I don't know that there's anything I can do about all of the threats around me.
Well, what if it hastens your death?
I'm sorry?
What if it hastens your death?
You know, it's interesting. Like a couple of years ago, I went through this period where I was really, really, and some of this probably came from my breaking my leg, being really incapacitated. And I was really, really fearful of my own death. I think it's like entirely from this practice that faded. And I don't actually worry about it anymore. I do have fears, I do have anxieties, absolutely, but that's kind of not one of them. I fear for other people's deaths, and I fear for like the people around me that I feel like I should be caring for. I fear for their suffering a lot. And some of that's compassion and some of it's guilt. But I would still eat the strawberry.
Have you written your will?
No, I haven't actually. Okay.
Write your will and then come back and tell me about your fear of death.
Okay, I will.
Lisa, you're unmuted. Did you want to say something?
Yeah. Yes, I, let's see, what do I want to say? I have my own tigers and mice. I think everybody has their individual story, and then there's all of the whole thing that we all are living through. But in my case, the story resonates in terms of my situation with my job and being squeezed on every end and being asked to go and work face to face. And I went in a couple of weeks ago because I was asked to go in, and campus was closed, and nobody was there. I only bumped into a couple, maybe two people. And then I got this message that I was, had been exposed to coronavirus, and I had to quarantine for 2 weeks. And I thought, anyway, I had a test. I got tested and it's negative, but I'm not going to tell the school that. I'm going to let them sweat. That's my attitude. And my strawberry is I'm going to go to my studio and work and give, and I don't know, it's what resonates to me is, and maybe I think my strawberry, I think me reaching for the strawberry is probably selfishness and foolishness. But if I'm going to be eaten by the tiger anyway, so be it. And I don't know exactly what that means in terms of kind of like bodhisattva action. I don't know what I'm doing to help people, actually. I feel like I can't really help my students right now. I try, but I don't know. I feel like the thing that I need to protect is that little space and area of joy, that little bit that's left, that needs to be protected. And maybe in some way that's bodhisattva action. I don't know. I guess it's a big I don't know, but that's what I feel like I am doing. And I'm aware that I'm turning my back on all this work every time I do that, because I can never finish the work that's being piled onto me. Uh-huh. It's impossible. I'll never finish. If I worked 24 hours, 24/7, I would still not finish the work. So I take my strawberry, and if the whole thing comes crashing down, so be it. I don't know. That's kind of what I'm thinking right now. And maybe I'm going to get fired. I don't know.
Steve?
Yeah, so I feel like the two tigers are this feeling that I feel just really an internal and external motivation to become really much more educated about especially racism, but about our world and about white privilege. And I feel like that's both something that's in my heart that I want to do out of compassion, and also I feel like it's an obligation and I can't separate the two. But it's a tiger because it feels like I feel fiercely about it, and it feels like a fierce obligation. So it's both an inside tiger and outside. The other tiger is I have a really tough workload right now. People have been fired recently at my job, and I'm taking on a lot of stuff I don't know how to do. So then what you said just now, Lisa, resonated with me about you wanting to go to your studio or having time to go to your studio. And you said, I don't know if that's selfish or words to that effect. And I thought, that's really interesting, because when I heard you say that, I thought of responding to you, well, Lisa, what's selfish about that? Who are you hurting by doing something for yourself? But then I realize I have the same thing going on in myself, that I've been playing guitar a lot less lately. I've been doing things I enjoy, eating my strawberry a lot less, because that takes away from what I conceive as my bodhisattva practice, which is using this time to educate myself and using this time to help people at my workplace who are also in similar stressful situations. I don't want to just put my nose to the grindstone at work and because I have to. I want to also, et cetera. So there's any number of things I could talk about as bodhisattva practice, but why is it selfish to play the guitar or go to the studio? Why is that not also part of bodhisattva practice? Because, I'm in this world. I'm not like somebody who's apart from it, who doesn't need any care, who doesn't need to eat the strawberry. I do feel like if I play the guitar, I'm taking away from times, from other things I could do to benefit people. So what is the benefit? Is enjoying something delicious, even though if you won't live as long, is that not benefiting you? That's what that's the question this brings up to me, is living longer always the most beneficial thing to do? So my response.
Asha and then Zach.
I'm feeling like the threats, like the tigers and the little mice are, for lack of a better word, kind of negative emotional states, like fear and panic and the inevitability of what life is. That's just there. Like when I get in my car, there's not a tiger 6 inches from my face, but it's still very dangerous to drive. And the strawberry just being the sweetness of life. And even though it's tiny compared to the crevasse and the animals and being entangled in the vine, I think being able to eat it is balancing. And I guess the beauty is in seeing all of it, being mortal, but there's still something beautiful and sweet about this flash in the pan life.
Thank you. Zach?
The strawberry reminds me in Schindler's List, which was 1,000 tigers and mice. There's the scene with the little girl in the red dress. The movie's in black and white, but there's one scene with the little girl in the red dress. And I think they both, in a way, to me, are a symbol that even in the worst of times, there's joys in the world. There's all is not lost. There are things you can celebrate and maybe even eat, but that all is not lost. And so sometimes I guess we have to look for the strawberries too.
Novella?
Maybe going to hell in a bucket, baby. But at least I'm enjoying the ride. At least I'm enjoying the ride.
It's a good summation. I think part of it strikes me about our practice of Sazen and of, the stuff we've been talking about in class and here on Saturdays too, about you know, being with the difficulties and not turning away from them and stuff. One of the things I think it does is allows us to taste the strawberry, allows us to grab the strawberry, even knowing that may be hastening our death or hastening our contact with tigers, difficulties, and that's okay, because it has to be okay. I mean, because we are going to die, or we do have to turn towards COVID and yada, da, yada, da, yada, da. And we can enjoy the strawberry. And I think that in response to Lisa, especially, you know, I think, but a lot of people said various things. Well, here's what I was going to say. I think it's a little too strong, maybe not. You can let me know what you think. I was going to say we have to enjoy the strawberry. At least in some sense, you know, we need that. What did you say, Novella? Enjoy the ride. We need to enjoy the ride. We need to enjoy life. You know, we have to have something that sustains us, and that he was able to enjoy the strawberry. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just tasting like ashes or something, because he knew that he was probably going to die pretty soon, or have to face the lion's den, or whatever, however you want to think of it. But he actually enjoyed it. The story says how sweet it was. So that's why I brought up this story, to remind us to enjoy some strawberries. Nelson is enjoying. Well, I'm thinking of driving up to Nevada City. I could do that in a day. Anyway, he's really enjoying, and we can enjoy and should enjoy whatever the strawberry. If it's going to your, studio, or playing the guitar, or eating amazing fruit. Anything. I watched a she's British, and she does not have nice knife skills, and she does cooking shows.
Nigella Lawson.
That's right, Nigella. Novella, Nigella, listen. Anyway, and it was an old episode that just came up on YouTube, and it was about junk food. She said sometimes you just need junk food. And so she cooks some of it. She makes an Elvis Presley sandwich, you know, peanut butter and banana fried, you know, like a grilled peanut butter and banana sandwich. And she fries, I don't know, some kind of small candy bar. It wasn't Mars bars, but it was something, looked like a coconut inside. I don't know what it was, but at any rate, she, you know, put them in batter and deep fried them. And her friends thought they were delicious. You know, sometimes you need to let yourself eat junk food. Sometimes. Anyway, is there anything else that anybody wants to say about either tigers or strawberries?
I was going to repeat. I may be going to hell in a bucket, baby, but at least I'm enjoying the ride.
Yeah, and our job is to both accept that we are going to die, and to be able to allow ourselves to enjoy what comes to us. You know, Pema talks about enjoying all of it, but just don't forget the strawberries. And pretty soon we'll have some pears here too. Okay. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them.